Derek, I wanted to say thank you also to everybody. Yesterday we had a spring cleaning day around here, and we had about 50 folks that showed up to scrub down walls and to dust stuff, and it was just a real good spirit in the room. So if the place seems a little bit cleaner than usual, I want you to know why that is. It was a real good time to be here yesterday morning. We, through the season of Lent, have been preparing for Easter by focusing on Peter and following Peter as his faith develops through spending some time with Jesus. And so today I'd like to share with you an encounter Jesus had with Peter from the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Here ends this reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus asks Peter a really important question, maybe the most important of questions. Who do you say that I am? How do you answer? Who is Jesus to you? No one else can answer for you. There's no one that can tell you if you've gotten it right or wrong. There's no amount of information that you have in order to be able to come to an answer, and it doesn't help to fake it if you're not really sure. State of Ohio may be able to tell you whether you can drive down Kinsey Road to get home or not, at least for me. They can tell you how fast you're going to drive. TV stations can tell you what you're going to watch on television when you turn it on. Your boss can tell you what you're going to do when you're at work. Your spouse can tell you what you're going to do this afternoon. But no one else can tell you what you're going to believe. Right here, right now, this morning, how do you answer this question? Who is Jesus to you? Here we're not talking about the truth. Here we're talking about the truth for you. I love the story about in 1989, President George Bush Sr. was going to worship one Sunday morning at St. John's Episcopal Church down in Washington, D.C., when just outside of the doors of the church, there was a homeless man who was sitting there. His name was William Wallace Brown, Jr. And he managed to get close enough, despite the security guards, to, as President Bush walked by, to say, "President Bush, will you pray for me?" And President Bush responded, I love this response, by saying no. He said, "Why don't you come inside and pray for yourself?" Is that a great answer? William Wallace Brown Jr. supposedly went inside in his raggedy clothes and worshiped there along some of the most rich and powerful people of his time. When the offering time came, by the way, he put a dollar in the offering plate, and I'm told he actually outgave some of those rich and powerful people. And when he passed away a number of years later, he was remembered as an example of humility and generosity. There are some things that only you can do, like decide what you're going to believe for yourself. What's that mean for us? Well, one of the things it means is we can't tell other people what they're going to believe. That's up to God to help them form their faith. But what we can do is ask other people how they answer this question. Jesus cared enough about how other people answer the question to ask the people around him what they believe about who Jesus is. Don't you think we should show the same kind of interest, to ask the people around us what they believe? Our scripture for today starts out by saying, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi. You probably know that most good Jewish people of the time lived in the area around Jerusalem. If you head north up the Jordan River, you get into more rural area, and so there would have been fewer and fewer faithful people up around that area. You would have gotten into the area around Samaria, and you would have gotten eventually to Galilee, where you would have found a mixture of Samaritans and Galileans. And then if you keep heading north along the Jordan River to the headwaters of the Jordan River, And then beyond where the Jordan River begins, you would have found an area where there probably wouldn't have been a lot of faithful Jewish people. Can you guess what the first town you come to after you leave Galilee, head north beyond the Jordan River is? Caesarea Philippi. Archaeologists say that it was a center of worship for the god Baal, or Baal. They have found as many as 17 temples there. Baal was often represented by a figure of a, you know, a cow. It was a fertility god. They represented it by a cow. So when Moses is up on the mountain and Aaron gets really anxious that the God isn't speaking fast enough, decides to collect everybody's gold together and melt it down and formed it into a figure of a golden cow. So probably what they were doing is worshiping this other god, Baal. And the prophet Elijah, when he's going to take on the other gods, the prophets of the other gods, he gathers all the prophets of the other gods together. And do you remember what god they were prophets of? The god Baal. Challenges them to create a fire. And so all these other prophets get together and try to create a fire, and nothing happens. And then Elijah calls on the name of the Lord God to create a fire. And in no time, they had a campfire. In Jesus' day, King Herod had changed the name of the town. It was called Panias, but he had changed it to Caesarea, which actually probably is better pronounced Caesarea, because he had built a temple there to Caesar. Augustus Caesar was wanting people to say that he was the Son of God. And so King Herod was trying to honor that by dedicating a temple there to Caesar Augustus. My point in all of this is that people had a lot of different beliefs, a lot of different choices of what they would believe. And isn't that an awful lot like the world we live in today? I have this theory that in Xenia in 2014, there is probably more of a variety of beliefs than there has been in Xenia's entire history. If you were to walk down the street on any given day and ask people, what do you believe? I think you'd get a wide variety of answers. Some people would say, I believe in Muhammad. Some people would say, I believe that Buddha is the way to enlightenment. Some people would say, believe in yourself. That's important. Others will tell you, I believe in being successful. Last night, I am sure there were a bunch of people who were saying, I believe I'll have another. A lot of people believe in a lot of different things. Then Jesus goes on to ask, who do you believe the Son of Man is? Some thought that he was John the Baptist. If you remember, Herod had wanted to marry his brother Philip's wife, and John the Baptist didn't think that was a very good idea. And so John the Baptist was thrown in jail by Herod. Herod was having a birthday party, and his daughter danced for him. And she did such a good job that he said he would give her anything that she wanted. Be careful of promising people favors. She asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter. Well, John the Baptist, or Herod then was obligated, and so had John the Baptist beheaded. But that apparently haunted King Herod, because there was this rumor, he had this fear that John the Baptist was going to be raised from the dead. Some thought maybe that Jesus was John the Baptist come back to life. Some thought that the Son of Man was Elijah. Remember the story of Elijah? One of the prophets, you'll find his story in 1 Kings. He was a wandering prophet who went around town being the voice of God, telling people that they were wandering from God and they ought to return. One of the people whose paths he crossed was a widow from Zarephath that was making her last meal for she and her son. And he asked if she would share a little bit of it. And she did. And because of that, her jar of flour never went empty. He took on the gods of Baal. He was the one on Mount Carmel that took on the gods and tried to create that campfire. He was taken up finally. He didn't die. He was taken up in a whirlwind. And ever since that time, there was this belief that one day he might return, that he might come back to earth. And that probably would signal the beginning of a new age. Some thought that maybe Jesus was Elijah returning. Some thought that maybe he was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet who was called as a child to be a prophet. He was the one who, when Babylon was invading and was taking all of the Israelites into captivity in Babylon, who interpreted why that was going on. He said, it's because we haven't been obedient to God, and so we're being punished. And he reminded them that we don't need to be in Jerusalem in order to worship God. We can worship God in all different places. Maybe Jesus was another in that long line of prophets. The point, I think is people see things differently all the time. If something happens and two people see it, they'll probably have two very different versions of the story. How do you think people these days would answer that question? Who do people say the Son of Man is? Who do people these days say Jesus is? A lot of people, I think, would answer it by saying who? I think there are fewer and fewer people who even know Jesus. I asked that question in Bible studies this week, and we got answers like a wise teacher, a healer, a companion, a friend, a savior, the one who forgives my sins. Who do you say that Jesus is? It's a personal decision. No one else can answer it for you. No one can tell you if you're right or wrong. There's no amount of information that you have in order to be able to answer it. And if you don't have an answer, it doesn't help to fake it. The state can tell you how fast you ought to drive and where you ought to drive. And I'm looking forward to the day when our road opens up again. TV stations can decide what you're going to watch when you turn on the TV. Your boss can decide what you're going to watch, what you're going to do when you go to work. Your spouse can decide what you're going to do this afternoon. Who cares what 9 out of 10 Americans believe? Who do you say that the Son of God is? I remember in one church that I served, there was a guy by the name of Henry who was a lifelong member of that particular church. He had been a part of that church for longer than he could remember. Before he could even remember things, he had been going to that church. He was baptized in the church. He was confirmed in the church. He was married in the church. He was getting older. His wife had died in that church, and he was absolutely sure that when it came time for his funeral, his funeral was going to be at that church. Every Sunday, he would put on his tie and jacket and walk from his house, which was about a half a mile down the road, and go to worship services. But he was getting older. At this point, he was in his late 80s, early 90s. I'm honestly not real sure. And people started to get worried about him, worried about whether he was really able to make that walk. He couldn't hear hardly anything, and he was practically blind. And so they started to worry about whether it was a really good idea. One Sunday, one of the younger members of the church decided to ask him why he still made the effort. So he took him aside and he asked him, Henry, you can't hear the sermon. You can't see what's going on. The pews are hard. It's a long walk from home. What do you get out of this? His answer was to say, I want people to know which side I'm on. I want people to know which side I'm on. Isn't that a good answer? Joshua is the guy who followed Moses. Moses had led the Israelite people out of the land of Egypt. He had led them to the verge of the promised land, and then Joshua is the one who took them into the promised land. His story is in the book of Joshua. At the very end, Joshua is getting older, and in the last sermon or last speech of his life, he challenges anybody who's listening, and this is his challenge. He says, choose this day who you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve. Do you know who? We will serve the Lord. We've all been given free will. One of the joys is that we have the freedom to choose what it is that we will believe. Peter's answer went like this. He said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. At the time, Rome was ruling over Israel, and so probably the word Messiah meant a ruler who would come and would get rid of Roman oppression, would free Israel to be able to guide itself. So that probably was what they meant when they first started using the word Messiah. But by Jesus' time, it probably had come to mean more than that, a person who would come and usher in a new age. So the question for us then is, do we believe that Jesus has come to usher in a new age? Do we believe that he's come to show the rest of Xenia and the world what it means to be forgiven and to be redeemed? Peter also says that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Do you believe that? Not the dead God. Jesus is the Son of the living God. That means he's still alive and well and at work in our world today. This week there were three teenagers that were tragically killed in a car accident up around the Springfield area. I can only imagine how utterly painful it must have been if you were friends or parents of those kids. And so the question then is, do we believe that God is at work even in a situation like that? Do we believe that even in something as traumatic and horrible as that situation, do we believe that God maybe can bring something redeeming out of it? This week in the Xenia community, we're going to remember that it has been how many years since 1974? 40 years since 1970. 40, can you believe it? 40 years since the most destructive F5 tornado, the only F5 tornado to have touched down, right? Before that time, and more people killed in a tornado than had ever been killed in a tornado before, 40 years ago. Do you know, though, as I hear people talk about that tornado, what I hear people talk about mostly these days? Not the destruction, though that was terrible. What I hear people talk about mostly is the way the community came together around that tornado. The way people came out to help other people who were in trouble. The way people went looking for people who needed some help. I heard one person say, wouldn't it be nice if we could all rally together and help each other the way that we did during the tornado? Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't need a tornado to make that happen? When I was in seminary, the president of the seminary was a guy by the name of Len Sweet. And I remember one sermon that he gave. He took out a Bible. And he talked about how the Bible is the Word of God. But the point that he really made from it is that it really isn't a story that was intended to be finished. He said, it's really too bad that the book has a cover on it. He said, because really it's a book that is intended to continue. It's intended to have extra chapters at the end. And those extra chapters are intended to be our story about the way that God is at work in our life. So it's a story about Abraham and Moses and Sarah and Miriam and Jesus and Peter and Mary and Paul. But it's also a story about us. And what it's intended to be is the way that we'll add our story into this story. Then he did something that I've always wanted to do but never really had the courage to do. He took the back cover and he ripped it off. He said, you are the next chapter. You are the story that God is continuing to write in this book. Then he said, go and write it. The state can tell you how fast you should drive. TV stations can decide what we're going to watch on TV. Your boss can decide what you're going to do when you're at work. Your spouse can decide what you're going to be doing this afternoon. If you don't feed the hungry, somebody else will do that. If you don't heal the sick, somebody else will do that. If you don't welcome the stranger, somebody else will do that. But if you don't decide what it is that you believe in your heart, nobody else can do that. Only you can decide. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you?